Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
It's another lonely night in the bar room. Something just turned the jukebox on. It's playing all those sad songs I remember that I haven't heard in so long. There's something about a dead man singing that sure makes me feel alone. And they're just resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. And Hank sings those sad songs about leaving. Johnny Cash is singing songs about jail. Ernest Tubb will sing you a song about Texas. But they're all down here in honky-tonk hell.
This is Joey Alcorn, and you just listened to Honky Tonk Hell off our latest record, All Alone Again. And now it's time for a man with a reputation for the obscene, Mr. Jimmy, I mean Donnie F. Cash, and the White Trash Revival.
How do, kind folks? How motherfucking do? This is the White Trash Revival, episode 45, and I'm your host, Donnie fucking Cash. Got us a good show lined up here, folks. Got an interview with Darren from Farmageddon Records that's got some real talent over there on that label. Gary Lindsay, Jake Orvis, the Goddamn Gallows, James Honeycutt, and many, many more. Fuck. We start off this show with a little Joey Alcorn with Honky Tonk Hell. Great fucking song. Great artist. And, hell. How about we go ahead and just jump in this first motherfucking set? Bitches!
Smoking marijuana, watching Mighty Mouse. I live in my pajamas, never leave the house. I'm gonna want something, I just clap my hands. My ever-loving mama come to please her man. I did like it simple, I'm living naturally. Everybody poisons it, you damn hillbilly. Damn hillbilly, why don't you get a real job, damn hillbilly? You're living like a slob, like a bull in a china shop, a walking disaster zone. Hillbilly, hillbilly to the bone. Chair. I love to hear them bullets whistling through the air. My backyard is a garden full of empty cans and brass. And I wonder why the neighbors wanna kick my ass. I just like it simple, well, I'm living naturally. Everybody points at you, damn hillbilly. Damn hillbilly, why don't you get a real job, damn hillbilly? You're living like a slob, like a bull in a china shop. Thank you.
come out and play today.
Well, well, well. The former star decides to take once more to the sky.
Shut the fuck up, Ashley. This isn't about you. It's about me and him.
It's always been about me, Kenny. Your entire career. It'd be my honor to end it twice.
Okay, look him in the eye, Kenny, in the eye.
Well, I'm looking in his eye.
It's all in the eyes, Kenny. Don't blink.
Stone cold.
Yeah,
stone
they are.
Piercing through your ass.
This is what I'm talking about. A fucking showdown. Potential Ashley Schaefer BMW buyers. Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
Let him cry, motherfucker. Let me tell you something. I had a dream about this moment when I was making love to my wife, Donna. On top of her, powerful thrusts, filling the sultry night air. Heavy breath. My son Gabriel walked in. Little boy. My wife sprung out of bed and said, "No, Gabriel, leave." I said, "No, honey. Shut your mouth. Let him watch. Let him watch what is being consecrated here. And I want the people to watch what's going to be consecrated here. And I will bring my son down here and he will watch. He will watch you two battle it here. You two becoming one. Okay?"
Me back my gun down the station. You can pick or choose. Nothing left, I got nothing to lose. 'Cause going down is a cold road. Another boy done lost his soul tonight. Why do we hurt each other? Why do we try?
Yes, we started off this set with Jimmy Pines with "Ya Damn Hillbilly." And we followed him with the Boxcar Cadavers with "Devil's Doorbell." And we ended this set with Louisiana Hellbenders with "Nothing to Lose." I got a question, friends. And I know you all will give it to me straight because y'all my friends, but how come two women can hug and kiss when greeting each other, but that's not right for two guys? You know, I know me and my friend Nick, when we greet or depart, we like to give a hug and a nice peck on the lips. So why does that make us a fag? Why we look queer when we do that? Huh? That's what I want to know. So, hell, if you guys think we're queer doing that, then, you must really think we're queer after we, get done fucking and like to kiss each other or even kiss each other while we're fucking. I don't think we're queers, Nick. You ain't never came in me, so fuck. That don't make us queer. Fuck all y'all that think we are.
Bright lights and
Start off this set with a little band from Australia, The Medicine Show, with Dogs Get Nothing. We follow that with Johnny Down and the Syndromes with American Genocide. And ending the set was The Smoke Brothers with The Other Half. So, friends and neighbors, I am now on Facebook. You can find me, Donnie F. Cash. You know, friend me there. Or you could find my page, The White Trash Revival. Just go and like that page. You know what I mean? Even if you don't really like it, just like it. If that makes any sense to you. Right now, I've got me a good buzz going with some high gravity lager. You know, a little bit over 10% alcohol. And some Colt 45 malt liquor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, probably when I'm done with this show, I'll go in the bathroom and rub one out. Because I know the little lady ain't going to give me none. Fucking bitch. You must be seeing Dan Dicker down. Well, I'll sit in the closet and jerk off while he fucks you.
Well, I come to you, Father, to confess my sin. It ain't cause you're holy, it's cause of where you.
starting off this set, my dear, dear friends, was the Blind Staggers, which is a great fucking band, little guy and gal duo, and it was a song called The Righteous. Following them was The Empty Arms with The Real Horror Show, and ending the set was Angie and the Car Wrecks with Rebel. All right, folks, we're going to get in a song called 25 Minutes to Go by 800 Pound Gorilla. And then on the other side of that song, we're going to get into the interview with Darren from Farmageddon Records and see what's going on with them good folks over there at that nice record label. Hell yeah. Hell fucking yeah.
Well, they're building a gallow outside my cell. I got 25 minutes. And the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got
1, 2, 3, 4. All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have Darren from Farmageddon Records. How are you doing, Darren?
Pretty good. How's it going on your end?
Well, I got a little buzz from drinking some high gravity lager and some Colt 45, but other than that, I'm good to go.
Sounds like you got it made, man. I wish I was doing that right now.
Hell yeah. So, let's tell the folks how you came about with Farmageddon Records.
Well, it pretty much started out, I'm going to blame it all on Jake Orvis. He was kind of the inspiration behind Farmageddon Records. And, you know, I've been friends with Jake for a number of years, as you know, through the 357 String Band and booking those guys and doing shows with them and Murder in the Mountains and all that. And Jake's been sitting on bunch of material, you know, solo material for quite a while, and I was out in Pittsburgh hanging out with them before we went to the goddamn gallows, you know, went on tour with those guys, and basically just asked him what he was up to with it, and he said nothing, and I said, well, you should think about doing something with it, and I decided I was going to get behind it, and well, here we are.
That's pretty fucking awesome. So, yeah, I was kind of upset when Jake and the 357 String Band severed ties, but now that he's got his own solo stuff out and working with the goddamn Gallows, I'm pretty much ecstatic.
Well, I think it all worked out how it was supposed to. You know, I mean, it was one of those things where everybody liked to see all those guys together, but unfortunately, sometimes a conflict of interest will cause things to happen. And, you know, I just, I definitely hate to see the breakup for sure and the dissension out there in the music world. I know a lot of people are upset that Jake got the boot, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think everything happens for a reason, and he's in a band that he's happy with. I think he's got a little more creative inspiration than the Gallows than he did with the 357 String Band, and I think more than anything, the two entities kind of outgrew each other, you know, and I think it was bound to happen one way or the other, so I'm you know, gunning that all parties included do the, you know, do the right thing and keep playing music, and everybody can hopefully just move on, you know.
Yeah. So you got your start promoting music in Montana. How'd that come about?
Oh, I guess it started more or less with Wayne Hancock. You know, we had him out there in 2006, and that's when we really got serious about it. You know, we weren't getting enough music through there that, you know, I personally wasn't seeing enough shows that I wanted to see because I couldn't afford to drive to Seattle or Boise, or, you know, it's just far between to see good artists coming through. So we decided that, you know, time and again, we try to see if we could get a band to come through, and, you know, we started bringing the Two Time and Three through. We brought Bloodshot Bill through, Preach Hour, which is Christian Brooks over at Bucket City's band, and, you know, that's when we kind of got serious about it, though, that year. And, you know, I mean, fortunately, you know, we made a lot of good friends through it. It never was, I'm still paying off debt from Section 8.
I bet that can be quite expensive.
Yeah, you know, it was more of a hobby turned into a, you know, a business with very little financial backing and a lot of love for the music. So it wound up working out how it did, and, you know, I'm happy that I did it. And, you know, I appreciate all the people that were there to help out through the tough times and made sure the shows were still coming through. You know, Montana was a good place to birth you know, a bunch of stuff. So, you know, Murder in the Mountains happened, and a lot of people got to meet each other, and I'm happy about how everything went for sure.
So what exactly, I mean, like how'd you get your foot in the door promoting?
It was kind of a thing on just keep knocking, and eventually somebody's going to answer, you know. And I had a few friends in the music industry as it was, because I've always followed bands and always, you know, tried to see what's going on and where they're going to be at, and always made a point to meet them and thank them for playing that kind of music or whatever. And I just contacted the booking agent and said, hey, you know, I'm interested in bringing Wayne Hancock to Montana. And he says, well, okay, you know, this is what it's going to take to do it. And I said, all right. You know, and I it was kind of cool because I was working at the Georgetown Lake Lodge at the time and doing all the music stuff there. And, you know, so I had at least a professional label, you know, to help me, you know, get things rolling. And, you know, I just basically put down a deposit and bought some airplane tickets, and away we went. And just kind of like, you know, developed itself. You know, it's kind of a learn as you go type thing. You got to make a few mistakes, fall off your bike a few times before you figure it out.
Right. So after doing this for a while, when did you realize you wanted to start a record label?
Well, I did it for. We actually did a little record, an experimental project in 2007 around New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve of 2007, going into 2008, called Grow a Beard. And totally last minute impromptu project. We had the 357 String Band, Slack Eye Slim, Rachel Brooke, Graham Lindsay, Hangman's Hill, which was a local Montana two-piece band at the time. Everybody was just kind of hanging out. You know, people were in town for 3 or 4 days, and you know, we were just killing time one day before, you know, we had the day off before the big New Year's Eve show at the filling station, and decided to just get everybody over to my buddy Jason's place. And at the time he was, you know, getting his recording engineering gear together, and basically just took everybody over, bought a couple of 12 packs of beer, and pretty much just let everybody loose, you know, on to play together and record some stuff. And in about 8 hours, I think we got like 7 or 8 tracks, and it was a lot of fun, you know. It was a lot of fun for all the musicians that don't normally play together to play together, and that was kind of I remember even back then, Jake's like, man, you'd be be a lot better working with records than he probably would be booking shows. And he kind of laughed and chuckled, and I did too. And that was kind of the spawn of, you know, the idea to do it. And, you know, basically after doing Section 8 and all the connections I'd made through it, I decided that, you know, maybe it's time to move on and, I guess, branch out of Montana and kind of leave that behind for now and work on some new stuff and kind of lay low on the booking and, you know, put my efforts towards something that might be a little bit more of an impact than just doing a show and having a one-night thing. You know, I think that we'd be better off, you know, working a little bit closer with some of the bands we really like, care about, and get more involved with them, like the goddamn Gallows.
Right.
Jake and James Honeycutt, and getting more hands-on with what's going on. And, yeah, kind of like I said earlier, too, when we got tied up with Jake, you know, in conversation about making some of his songs that have been just sitting in the shoebox underneath his bed happen, you know, and they turned out to be great songs, and, you know, I think people need to hear them.
So when can we expect Jake's album to be out?
God, we were hoping to have it out by April. I mean, we've been into the studio twice over two separate trips, getting musicians in from all over the place to make it happen, and we finally got all the recording stuff done. I think the mastering's all done now. It's ready to go to print, and I mean, I think we'll see the album available for purchase here in the next 4 weeks. I think about a month is what it's going to take before you're going to be able to buy it.
Okay.
I can tell you this much, it's definitely an amazing album. I mean, the amount of blood and guts and time that went into it, it's definitely worth checking out. You know, there's a lot of different flavor to it. It's not just Jake picking his mandolin. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with it. I think, you know, anyone that appreciates anything from punk to metal to bluegrass to country is going to like it, you know, or even, you know, if you're into retro music, I think you'd find some likable stuff on it.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. What can we expect from the Goddamn Gallows? They got anything new coming out or what?
Yeah, the Goddamn Gallows are an official Farmageddon band now, so we're going to be reissuing all their old stuff. Even as far back as Life of Sin, which is pretty much a straight up psychobilly record. We're in the process of reprinting all their stuff, and then we got a lot of projects in the works for those guys right now. There's going to be a live album coming out that's actually getting mastered here in the next few weeks in February. We were up in the Northeast and Philly and in New York, and those recordings turned out great, so we're going to go ahead and do a split, New York City, Philadelphia, you know, split live recording. Y'all Motherfuckers Need Jesus and Waiting Around to Die, we're putting on a 7-inch. Those are also live tracks. And Sidewalk Slammer and Seven Devils, these are all new songs. Those are probably going to get put on 7-inch soon. We have a live squat recording that was done down in New Orleans. I got busted by the railroad bulls about halfway through in an old abandoned warehouse. That's going to be coming out on a recording. We have a pretty unique recording coming out with them and Gary Lindsay, Black Eyed Vermilion. A lot of people probably know Gary Lindsay is the frontman of Ass Jack and Three. We're working with him right now. He's actually, it kind of started out as going to be a 4-song single where Gary was going to cover 2 Goddamn Gallows songs and the Goddamn Gallows are going to cover 2 Black Eyed Vermilion songs. But based on the material that's recorded already for that project, you know, it definitely inspired us to want to make it a 7-song EP where, you know, they cover 3 songs of each other's music and then do a song all together. So that's going to be definitely one of those unique deals, and we're going to be working with Keith Neltner on the art for that. So, yeah, when that comes out, first 100 copies on vinyl are coming with a print done by Keith Neltner. All the art's going to be done by Keith. It's going to be a very special limited recording. We're only going to print it one time on vinyl and CD, and once they're gone, they're gone. You know, we got James Honeycutt in the works, too. He's also going to be doing a project with us this year, so we're pretty excited and fortunate about the guys that we were working with this year.
Yeah, that's how I got hip to Farmageddon Records, was through James Honeycutt. I did an interview with him probably 2-3 months ago. Great guy, and he's got a tremendous fucking voice. He's probably got one of the best voices I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, his voice is definitely one of the more dynamic voices you're going to find, and I think the great thing about James Honeycutt is his versatility in music. He doesn't, I hate to say it, but he's been pigeonholed as a retro rockabilly guy, but that's maybe 1% of what he wave of that scene for a while, but I mean, he's definitely going to be doing some stuff this year that's definitely not retro. It's going to be more of a kind of a timeless, genreless style. You know, I think, you know, he's experimented with so many different kinds of bands. I mean, I don't even know how many bands James has played in. I mean, he's played in death metal bands, he's played in punk bands, thrash bands. You know, he's done Black Sabbath cover bands, country bands. I mean, you name it. But James's music ability is, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I've seen that guy sit down and just cover old school metal songs, you know, to a T for hours just watching him, sitting there drinking beer, watching him. I mean, he's one of those unique individuals, I think, that, I don't know, his talents definitely outweigh what anybody's seen yet. So I think people can be pleasantly surprised when they see what we're going to do with his project. So that's something we're definitely looking forward to.
Fuck yeah. So let's see here. We got Gary Lindsay, Jake Orvis, Goddamn Gallows, and James Honeycutt. Who else might we expect to come off Farmageddon Records?
Also working with Ty Lonesome. We haven't really figured out what we're going to do with that yet. Been working with, you know, Noah, trying to figure out a time where we can get him in the studio for his solo album. We were trying to push for July, but his material's just not ready yet, and you know, we don't want to push him. So we're gonna try to reschedule his studio time sometime for the fall, maybe. And we'd like to, you know, handle reissuing the older High Lonesome stuff. We've also talked to Chris St. Christopher with the Motherfucking Saints, and you know, we want to get some hardcore bands on the label as well. So, you know, they were the first ones we called. Definitely love their stuff. You know, the first two albums that, you know, we got from them, you know, the Motherfucking Saints stuff's hard-hitting, all-around good American heavy metal rock and roll, and, you know, I've been listening to those guys for years, so we're going to try to reissue some of their stuff and hopefully maybe talk to him about doing some St. Christopher stuff. We're also, we've spoken with Blind Joe, you know, about getting an album out this year, Rachel Brooke, Nate Hancock, Rodney Henry. We've also spoken with Junkrod, Old Red Shed. There's a lot of artists out there we've been speaking with loosely about getting something going in the near future. We're just trying to get our bearings together, get our website up and running, get all the legal stuff out of the way, and just kind of start getting after these recordings one at a time. You know, we're not rich, so we're kind of doing them one at a time, and we do have an investor helping us out, but that's, you know, something we don't want to obviously abuse. We want to do the projects as they come and kind of work the kinks out as they go. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it for who we've spoken with. You know, there's definitely a lot of artists out there we'd like to get up with that are doing the right thing. But like I said, just kind of one at a time for right now.
Fuck, everybody you've named, man, you got me tickled pink. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, we don't want to put anybody on the label, you know, that's not, not 100%, or, you know, we feel is, you know, either innovative or pioneering what they're doing, or, you know, just really got their shit together, you know?
So how hard is it starting up a label as opposed to booking bands up in Montana?
There's a lot more details to it, you know? I mean, just based on the artists alone, you know, we want to make sure that they're represented properly, legally, of course. You know, so just all the little details, I guess, is what takes time, you know? I mean, just from start to finish, making an album is, you know, is as simple or as hard as you want to make it. We don't want to overproduce anything, but at the same time, we don't want to miss any little details. You know, when somebody buys something from us, we definitely want to make sure that they're getting a quality piece of music, you know, and we want to make sure that enough thought and time went into the process to make it worth them spending, you know, whatever it costs to purchase a copy of it. And, I mean, those people are just as important as the artists. You know, without them, we wouldn't be able to have a label, so we got to make sure that the people out there supporting Farmageddon get what they need and what they paid for, too. So just all the little details, though, is really what makes it a pain in the ass.
Right. So will you be going through, like, Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, and all that good stuff for, like, digital and stuff? Because that seems like the way that everything's going nowadays is digital.
A lot of our stuff's going to be coming out on vinyl, some vinyl only. I'm pretty anti-digital download, anti-corporate music, all that kind of stuff. I obviously, not stupid, know it's the wave of the future. It's the, you know, what everybody's into right now. So we have a couple avenues that we're going to go with it. We've been talking with the guys over at Digital Warfare, Daddy Paycheck, and Bobby Gunstrom from Added Attraction Entertainment, or that's kind of their thing. They're kind of trying to do with digital downloading what Farmageddon is trying to do for the artists. If you kind of catch my drift on that, they're definitely going to be the people to go to, you know, if you want to get your stuff handled properly and represented in the digital download world. But for now, basically, we're going to start out with Jake's album here shortly. It's not going to be available digitally right away until we find an avenue that, I guess, that we're comfortable with. You know, I'm not saying that we won't have things available on Amazon or CD Baby, but I'm not going to say that we will yet, you know, because until I investigate all this stuff and feel comfortable with it, I'm not going to sign any papers or sign up with anybody. I'd actually like to figure out a way to get, I've been speaking with our web designer, and we're trying to figure out a way where we can do our own thing all together, you know, basically have a Farmageddon merch store where you could just go directly to us and buy downloads digitally or buy everything right there and not even have to worry about going through any of those bigger companies, because I really don't want this to have any corporate affiliations at all. I want this to be completely DIY, you know.
Right on.
I want the people to be able to buy it right from us so we can sell it to them a little cheaper, you know, and cut out as many middlemen as we can, and unless they're, of course, friends of ours that we're also trying to support, you know.
Exactly. Now, let's say a band is listening to this podcast and, you know, they're pretty decent and they'd like to get on your label or like for you to hear what they're about. How could they get in contact with you and maybe shoot something your way?
I would say just go ahead and type in Farmageddon Records in your search engine, your Yahoo or your Google. You should be able to find our MySpace page from that. And for now, go ahead and just, you know, shoot us a message on the Farmageddon page on MySpace, and I'll definitely respond to you, and that way you can send me a demo, and, you know, we can, you know, we're interested in listening to, you know, bands out there we haven't heard yet or don't know about, because I know there's a lot of bands and artists hiding in the cracks and hollers of Nowhere USA that we want to hear, you know. I'm more interested in working with those cats than I am the big guys, you know. Somebody's got to help get the guys, the up-and-comers established, you know, and that's kind of what we want to be, a stepping stone. Also, I want to mention that, you know, with Farmageddon Records, you're only contracted by one recording at a time either. You know, I don't want to own your soul. You know, I want to put out one record, and if you're happy with us and we're happy with you, then we'll go to the next one. So they can also send me an email at darren@newrootsorder.com, D-A-R-R-E-N, at newrootsorder.com.
Let me tell you this, Darren. I'm fucking tickled pink about this record label. I really am, and I'm excited.
That's awesome, man. We're excited, too.
So, how awesome would it be if Hank 3 came to Farmageddon Records? Would that be a dream come true or what?
That'd definitely be pretty cool, you know? I mean, I know that he just parted ways with Curb, and he's finally done with his contract with them, but that'd definitely be something we'd entertain, but, you know, as far as that goes, that'd probably be completely up to him. I think what you're going to see from him is he'll probably stay single for a while. I wouldn't blame him if he did, you know. I mean, he's been tied up with Curb Records for God knows how long, and, you know, I think that guy's done a lot for this umbrella of music, you know. He's kind of inspired a lot of people to do it their own way, and, you know, yeah, sure. He wants to be on there, what the hell, you know, but I just assume not plan on that happening. I think he's going to want to be a free agent for a while, and I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen him start his own thing. You know, he's big enough, and his reputation is strong enough where I'm sure he could probably just do it on his own without any affiliations with any record companies.
Right. Well, I think that's about all the questions I have for you, Darren. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or anything?
No, man, I just definitely want to say, hey, thanks a lot for, you know, doing the interview and, you know, helping spread the word. You know, it's guys like you that are really important to this scene, you know, and the guys that are doing the legwork and letting the world know, you know, one podcast at a time that, hey, there's stuff going on out there. So, yeah, you know, big thumbs up to you, man.
Well, thank you kindly, sir. All right, I think that's going to be about it. thank you for being on the show. I hope everything, I hope we get some people your way and everything works out and you get you something nice over there at Farmageddon.
Yeah, I appreciate the time it took out to do an interview with us. And, you know, we'll keep you guys posted over there and make sure to get you a promo copy of Jake's album when it comes out so you guys can play it on the show.
Hell yeah.
Sitting up all night just trying to get it right, picking up the pieces of a broken night, but I refuse to sit here and lose, cause I'll beat my head against the wall for so background, the sky's turning blue. I keep on looking at the pictures of you. I know that I've been drinking, but I heard a song. Now I'm beating my head against the wall all night long. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have come home. I just need to let you go.
You don't even need to play anything at the end.
You told me not to.
Yeah, no, you didn't. So, and that's perfect. So.
All right, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yes. That song right there was Beating My Head by Jake Orvis. And Jake Orvis is on Farmageddon Records. Thank you so kindly, Darren, for sending me that song there. All right, folks. Let's do this here right quick. And we'll get another set. Woo-hoo! This high-gravity lager got my head spinning.
Hey, this is RJ. RJ Wilson, Reed Wilson's little cousin. And this new White Trash Revival is something else. Reed, you're going to get there, buddy. You're getting there. I'm enjoying listening to it, reading it. I need to know where the interview is. I want to see that interview of Reed Wilson and his so-called friends. But, come back. Bye.
Next time you pull a stunt like that, I'll drill two holes through your dick so that when you pee, it shoots out in all different directions. You got it?
Thank you. you believe in ghosts? You don't? Well, you must admit that there are things that frighten us. You can't deny that there are signs from the dead.
Everybody, I'm Maddie Cash, and my dad Donnie had to go get some cheap beer right quick. I don't know why he drinks that stuff, especially that Colt 45. That stuff makes him be able to crap through a screen door. Anyway, starting off with this set was Tip Top Trio with Daddy-O. Following that was Zoltan Orchestar with Circus of Pain. And ending this set was Ed Rebel and the Butchers with Duke of Hazzard. Well, I hope you folks like having me on this lame show, since I'm cool and you're not. Here's your next set, losers.
Well, that cocaine habit is mighty bad. It's the worst old habit that I ever had. Hey, hey, honey, take a whiff on me. All you round is take a whiff on me. Hey.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock. Send them out in the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
And I know George Harrison is full of shit. Close my eyes tighter and think if this is heaven, the fucking Baptist can have it. Well, I try to swallow, but I can't get up enough spit. So I stagger down to the toll to stand like Joe, cause I can't piss. Well, let's have another round, you know it really don't matter anyway. No, the broken promises make it easier to drink on Sunday. The preacher says, yeah, why in the hell should I care? Their lives are gonna be just the same. Whether or not I'm there, I'm having a little trouble with God. Yeah, you talk about a deadbeat dad. A full bottle of Jameson's the only father I ever had. Well, let's have another round, you know it really don't matter anyway. No, the broken promises make it easier to drink on the same day. I'll crack a seal, pop a top, yeah, to try to find praise in this low crank up. The Eddie's shaving till the speakers blow. I'm the LTD for man. Where's Ronnie when you need him? I'd love to hear what Bill Hicks would have to say, but they're all busy with Dwayne Allman and drinking all Sunday. Well, let's have another round. You know it really don't matter anyway. No, broken promises make it easier to drink on Sunday. Well, let's have another round. You know it really don't matter. Make it easier to drink on Sunday.
La-di-da, big fucking deal. Now this time I'd like to field any questions anybody has. This is the time to do it. You, big kid.
Do we have to run the mile?
I'm talking about me. These are questions about me personally as a superstar. You know, you got this moment in time here with an American icon. You're going to waste it asking a question about the fucking mile? Who's next? Who's got something else for me here? You.
He did steroids. Did it make your balls shrink?
Oh, you think that's funny? How about I shoot my balls right here and you can tell me if they shrunk, huh? No, for your information, I have full-size balls. Next question.
Is it true you were in jail?
Nah, babe, rehab.
Did you hurt yourself?
Nah, I didn't hurt myself.
Because Coach Boone said after his back surgery, he has to go to rehab.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hurt myself. I hurt my nose. All right, got time for one more. Timid kid.
My dad said you ruined baseball.
You know what? I can already tell that I don't like you. And I'm probably not going to like you, no matter how many pull-ups or push-ups you do. Or anybody wants to pick on anybody in class, aim for him, because I ain't watching.
Dressed in black like Johnny Cash, he hit the road and he never looked back. He turned to his mother, I heard him say, we'll meet again on the judgment day.
I sure hope you enjoyed having my daughter, Maddie Cash, fill in for me. I had to run up to the local carryout so I could wrap my lips around Tall Boy. No, no, no. Not what you sick motherfuckers are thinking. Not no tall boy named Zach that plays football for the local high school that has abs of steel and likes to jog at night with the sweat glistening down his chest. No! A tall boy is some fucking high-gravity logger. Yeah. Anyway, starting off this set was Little Giants with Cocaine Habit Blues. Following that was Cattle Truck, which is on the Pint of Happiness record label. What up, Elvis? And the song was Drinking on Sunday. Now, that's something I sure do know about, because I always drink on Sunday. And a couple times I've drank on Sunday morning before I go to church. Makes you want to become a holy roller and jump up in the aisle and say, "Yes, Lord," with a little malt liquor on your breath. It don't matter. And then this set was Little Good Intentions with You Can't Call It Country. And that right there is everything on the radio that you hear that they claim is country. You can't call it country because the shit isn't. Let's get in this next set. Fuck Knuckles.
I got nothing in my pocket but a couple of smokes. I got holes in my shoes. Holes in my clothes, ain't nothing in this goddamn world gonna go my way. I'm living on nothing, hoping for something to pull me through another day. Now keep on trying, Lord, slowly dying till I find a better way. With bills and debt buried up my neck, man, I guess I got nothing to lose. So I'ma head downtown, try to bum around and drink away my low down blues. Yo lay, oh, yo low, oh, oh, low. tell the president I sure bet he can't feel my pain. He can keep mine and his bullshit, man, that's such a shame. I'm living on nothing, hope for some, put me through another day. Now keep on trying, or slowly dying, till I find a better way. With bills and debt buried up my neck, man, I guess I got nothing to lose. So I'ma head downtown, try to bum around and drink away my low down blues. Yolay, 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 low down blues.
Sunday night, and I was just going to tell y'all that, well, I was in there having a beer, and he had a couple of fellas that come up to me and is asking me if I wanted to go home with them.
Uh-huh.
I just going to let y'all know, you know, you might have you a couple of queers that come in there or something. I think it might.
A gay bar.
What's that?
Glenfield is a gay bar.
A gay bar?
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
What?
What the hell's a gay bar?
It's a queer bar.
You mean where queers go?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell kind of business is that? A bunch of queer... You mean you want the queers to come in?
That's why they're here. That's why the bar's open.
Well, why the hell would you want them to come inside your bar? Seems to me like where am I from, we try to kick the damn ass with kind of a queer. I mean, I was just coming in there to have a beer. I mean, them fellas started coming up to me and asking, you know, hell, one of them even asked me if he could suck my dick, and I didn't know what the hell to think. Yeah. Seemed to me like that runs off business.
No, that don't run off business. That's just the type of bar that fellas have here.
Well, how the hell's a fella supposed to come down there and enjoy an ice cold beer?
Well, I don't know how to explain that to you, friend. If you're that goddamn afraid of your masculinity that you can't come into a queer bar and have a beer.
Hey, listen here, you damn son of a bitch. You won't get harder than me. I'll come down there and whoop your damn ass.
I'll bring your goddamn ass down.
Well, okay, what's your name then, buddy?
I'm Jim. I'm sitting right at the front door.
Jim.
I'm Jim
Underwood, and I'll come down there and I'll whoop your damn ass, motherfucker.
Your phone number is 313971.
Yep.
Let me get your goddamn address, and I'll come.
Okie dokie.
And we'll see who gets goddamn way.
Well, hell, you don't even got to worry. You ain't even got to worry about it, because I'm on my damn way.
Bring your goddamn ass on.
I'll do her.
Bring it on down.
Well, I'll do her. Right. I'll tell you what, I whoop bigger son of bitches than you are.
Let me tell you something. I ain't no goddamn queer.
Well, it sounds to me like you are if you damn at the damn queer bar.
Bring your butt ass on down here.
Well, I'm on the door.
What? You're doing there, country fucker.
Hey, who the hell you calling country fucker, you little bastard?
A little bastard?
Yeah, I said little bastard. I'll come down there and put the damn ace of spades. And the 5 o'clock's on you, your ass ain't gonna be getting up.
Yeah, boy, look, I'm 6 foot, and I weigh 320 pounds.
320 pounds?
Listen, hey.
The bigger you are, the harder you fall.
Hey, be sure you clean the cow shit off your goddamn feet, punk.
Hey, son of a bitch. I'll tell you what, I'll be down there, and I'll bring Brother Earl with me.
Sure is. She's a real gem. She is. She sure.
one thing straight, actor. I don't trust you. And if you betray us, I'll rip your fucking balls off and stuff them up your ass so that the next time you shit, you'll shit all over your balls. Got it?
Out of Frisco, I'm a V-twin, 750. Watching the wingman by the dust. Broke down the high plains, run the ride to Kerrville, Texas. Holding in my bike, I'm rolling rust. There's an awful lot of room in the Kerrville Cemetery. Room on the main, the light. May die. Got to the dealer, gonna fix up my two-wheeler. Lots man got it in the warehouse, way out east. You don't call it in from Tokyo, don't say it in Tokyo. Overnight to it takes about a week. There's a lot of room.
And starting off this set, folks, was another Pint of Happiness record label mate, Owen Mays, with Living on Nothing. Thank you, Owen, for sending me that MP3. Following him was Simone Cross with She's a Real Gem. And Simone Cross is a dominatrix and a fetish porn star. Anyway, if any of you folks have listened to the White Trash Revival from the beginning, you know, one of the first episodes I told you folks that my wife was once a dominatrix. And here's the story how I met her. One night we was at a dance club, and I edged my way up to this little hot blonde dancing, and I said, "Hey, after the club closes, how would you like to go to breakfast with me?" She said, "Look, dude, no offense, but I get paid to play. I'm a dominatrix. If you can come handle some of my action and pay for the services rendered and not tap out, I'll go to breakfast with you." I said, "Well, fuck yes." So a couple days later, I call her. And she told me if I could handle what she was going to put upon me and not cry, that she would go to breakfast with me. She told me that pain word would be Oklahoma. If I cry that, that means I'm tapping out. I said, listen here. Just go ahead and give me a ball gag because I am not tapping out. And I want to know how you like your eggs, bitch, because you're going to breakfast with me. So I put that big red ball gag in my mouth, and she starts fucking wailing on me right off the rip. She hits me with this fucking leather horsehair whip and just tears into me. And I don't know if you folks have seen The Passion of the Christ, but do you know on that part where they got Jesus bound over this fucking stone and the Spartans are just laying into him and, you know, just fucking his back getting laid wide open and they're just fucking whipping the shit out of him? Well, that's what my wife was doing to me. Just fucking tearing into me. Just put it this way. It hurt so fucking bad that I totally bit through that big red ball gag. Bit it in half. And I pissed on myself. But I did not tap out. And she went to breakfast with me. A couple weeks later, I'm laying that fucking pipe and I'm giving it to her so good that a couple months down the road, she marries me. Quits her dominatrix services and becomes Mrs. Fucking Cash. That's how I throw them things, folks. I throw them with no regard. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyways, ending this set was Hootenanny with Kerrville Cemetery. So, let's go ahead and get in this last fucking set, you cock smokers and you whores and you bitches and you sluts and you, whatever else. Let's do this. Last set. Motherfuckers.
hotel not too far from here. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Hard-pressed to find a man who doesn't enjoy the pleasure and eroticism of a good blowjob. Nothing turns your man on more than watching you drop to your knees and worship his cock. However, a lot of women shy away from giving head, or simply don't know how to do it correctly. Having perfected the art of pleasing my man, I am here to illustrate how to drive yours wild by giving him amazing head.
folks. And starting off this last set here was Reverend Sexton with Time's Slipping Away. And he is a Christian blues artist. So I started, or I followed Reverend Sexton with Satan's Pilgrims with Haunted House of Rock. How fitting is that? And I ended the set with Carling Abbeygate with Beg, Steal, and Borrow. That's how I like my gals. Beg, steal, and borrow for her man. Just don't steal from me. But you could steal your love, or steal my love, or steal my heart, or steal some Peter. But you don't have to steal that. All right, so that's going to be all for my show. I hope you enjoyed it. Check out Farmageddon Records and all their great artists. There's something new. If you folks want to call and leave a voicemail saying my show sucks and I sound like a faggot, call 206-339-8419. Or you could leave me an email, tell me my show sucks, I sound like a faggot, at don@section86.com. Or check me out on Facebook. I'm there now. You know, I got the White Trash Revival page there also. Become a fan or like it, whatever it is. Find me, Donnie F. Cash, at Facebook, or find me on MySpace. I'm on all them. I'm going to end the show tonight. I'm going to end the show tonight with a classic by Ronnie Rogers, The Fool on the Stool. It's been fun, folks.
Have a great evening.
Motherfuckers.
Hey, you, the fool on the stool. I know what's on your mind. You're thinking she'll be persuaded by your tips and clothes and tie. There you sit, so sure she's gonna be yours when she gets through tonight. Hey, you, the fool on the stool. She'll go home when they turn on these lights. Fool, let me tell you how it's gonna be when they call for the final round. She'll clean off the tables, straighten up the chairs, flip the sign on the door, then she'll let the old blinds down. Then she'll count up the bills you tipped her for dancing and holding you tight. Then you'll hear a horn blow. Through the back door she'll go. I played the same old game last night. Hey, you, the fool on the stool. I know what's on your mind. You're thinking she'll be persuaded by your tips at closing time. There you sit, so sure she's gonna be yours when she gets through tonight. Hey, you, the fool on the stool. She'll go home when they turn on these lights. Hey, you, the fool on the stool. She'll go home when they turn on these lights.